You're out of order. You're out of order. This whole damn court's out of order.
You can't handle the truth.
You want the truth? You can't handle the truth, man.
I like your 7-year-old Eric voice.
Come on, man. Get out of here. The bad guys are going to die, dude.
Hey everybody, and welcome back to another edition of the Dynasty Tradecast, brought to you by MyBookie.ag, the official sportsbook of RotoViz Radio. I, as always, am your host, Eric Bertzloff, better known on Twitter as @DynastyTrades, joined by my two co-hosts. Both of them are here. Dan and Nathan, what's up, man?
I'm here.
Hey, how's it going, Eric?
Nathan, he still sniped you. Nope. I got in there first. Put your phone down since you don't have a working computer, and I'm glad to be back. You know, I'm glad Nathan has all of his electronics working well, so that's nice. He sounds great. You look like you're enjoying that beer, so I'm happy. I'm in a good mood.
Yeah, I am enjoying the beer. But yeah, no. Just for those listening in the show who might be like, why does Nathan sound so bad? Like,
sounds so great, more bad than usual.
Audio quality right now. And it's because he's on his iPhone is the answer to the question, because his computer is a piece of junk. Hi, Nathan.
You know, I will not take this fake news, this slander. Everyone's going to say, hey, I didn't notice the difference between Nathan's computer and his phone. So, but Google Hangouts says, you cannot join this Hangout on my computer right now. So that's why we're here, and that's why I'm going to dominate the show right now.
Okay, Nathan, yeah, the audio is exactly the same. Well, let me introduce our guest, second time, I think, Tradecast guest, George Kritikos, better known on Twitter as RotoHack. You've got a great handle for that I can do the better known on Twitter, George.
Yeah, no, I think I went with a little more originality on Twitter than I did, or my parents did with my name, so that's good. And to answer the why does Nathan sound so bad questions, because he's a terrible fantasy analyst. I believe that is the
Oh, wait, did that guy just call Nathan a fantasy analyst? That's messed up, man.
It's a backhanded compliment.
Or maybe just a backhand.
Okay, well, before we get into the show, we're going to talk week 6 and even potentially get into some Dynasty Courtroom if there's time for it. But beforehand, I want to remind everybody you can get a listeners only 30% discount to RotoViz through the RotoViz podcast homepage. That's rotoviz.com/podcast. Your subscription gives you unlimited access to all of our NFL content, and it helps support the pod. So you can contact us via email. That's rotoviz@gmail.com, or reach out on Twitter at RotoViz Radio. So on that note, George, how did week 6 go for you, man?
It's still in progress. I have one dynasty team who's undefeated, and I have Mariota going up against his T.Y. Hilton and Delanie Walker. So it's a little troublesome. I'm down by about half a point. So that's the one I'm sweating out right now.
Ooh, yeah. Mariota does not look like he should be out there either. That's got to put some sweat on the forehead for sure. Staying undefeated is solid though.
Yeah.
I don't want to brag or anything, guys, but, in the Reality Sports Online RotoViz Dynasty Tradecast League, I am still undefeated. So not to brag, but that's still a thing.
When's the last time you looked at that lineup?
Like last night.
That's actually impressive. That was earlier than I had after I set my lineup for this week last week, and then it didn't take, and I had like 8 players on bye in my lineup.
Yeah, it's the best. You're the best, Dan. Just punting the listener league. That's great, Daniel.
Playing for next year, man.
Okay, well... I feel like first off, actually, I'm currently first place in a kitchen sink league. So,
wow.
I'm with Nathan in the league. Suck it, Nathan.
I'm in the middle of the pack there. It's all right, you know.
I'm shocked that he and Russell aren't winning. Shocked.
No, it's KS4. Russell and I are together there. No.
Oh. Well, that makes more sense then.
Nope, just Nathan. Just Nathan and his
team. Wait, Russell and Nate aren't together anymore? That's sad.
Yeah, I don't know if you've listened to the show recently, but Russ hasn't been on.
Well, like, I mean, has Nathan ever been on?
I love it.
I love a feisty guest just throwing bows at Nathan.
This is like the old days when all we did was make fun of Nathan for like 40 minutes. So I kind of like the throwback nature of this episode. We're playing courtroom, hopefully, and we're just needling Nathan, especially because his phone's pretty sweet and we're looking at his forehead.
Okay.
I don't want to get all personal here, but like George is asking me like last night, oh, how is life? Yada, yada, yada. And I told him, life is really great. And so he's just doing everything he can to just ruin it.
Yeah, that's fair. That is fair. I am trying to bring him down to my level.
Okay, well, let's put this thing back on the tracks. Let me tell you guys about our sponsor, MyBookie.ag. MyBookie is a fantastic sports book that sponsors this show. They have an industry-leading website that that really takes care of all of your betting needs. So if you're a longtime gambler and check out a ton of different online sports books, as I've done through the last couple episodes, I would highly implore you to go check out mybookie.ag. You can use the code TRADECAST, and you'll get 100% bonus. And then you'll also get a $25 casino chip as well. And they have some great casino games there. Blackjack, all the typicals, blackjack, craps, you name it, it's there. So make sure you go check out mybookie.ag. And also, to clarify my previous statement, you don't have to be a long-time gambler. You could also be a first-time gambler. If you want to check out a site, I implore you to go check out MyBookie if you've been on fire these weeks in your survivor pool and are feeling pretty good against the spread. I think that's a great place to go and take it. And you'll be supporting the pod by using TradeCast as your code as well. So go to MyBookie, where you play, you win, you get paid.
And don't forget, this is your last, absolute last week where you can get 100% bonus. So if you're looking to place a big bet, get some 100% bonus. This is the last week to do that. So it's going to be 50% next week. So get that money right now.
And make sure you put that extra poker chip to good use. Those blackjack tables and the casino portions actually really fun. A lot of people try to do that in their apps and on their like mini websites, and they're kind of terrible. This one's actually fun. I was pleasantly surprised.
All right. Great. Well, let's dive into the Twitter poll trade for the week this week. This week we have kind of a topical one, like we generally always do. We have Aaron Rodgers versus Deshaun Watson in a dynasty format.
I honestly think this one can be justified both ways. I think if you have a team that maybe you drafted a couple of years ago and you drafted to win and now everyone's kind of flaming out, or you've lost some people to injuries and your window is not looking so hot anymore and you might be 2 or 3 years away from competing, I think in that scenario, you might honestly want to take a real look at grabbing Deshaun Watson in a deal like that. But in just about every other case, it's Aaron Rodgers, and I don't know that it's particularly close. And I'm really turning a corner on Deshaun Watson. He's really starting to look the part.
I'm gonna slightly disagree with Dan, and here's why I say that. If you have a really short window, as in like this year, you almost want to have Watson because Rodgers is out. So there is that scenario where you could argue that if you have a really short window, you have the older running backs, a few older receivers, you might want to go Watson, just knowing that your backup quarterback may not be as good.
Yeah, no. If you're like in competing mode, definitely, absolutely think that as well. But I'm thinking like if the team is kind of already passed and you don't really have any way to compete right now and your window isn't looking very good, then you go and do it. But yeah, if you're competing now, then it really might be worth it, because then if your old team dies, now you've got that young piece to kind of build around, especially in a super flex, which is what this poll was about. So I think it could be relatively close, actually.
Well, wait, does the super flex really, and maybe I'm being silly here, but the super flex really impact the valuations if we're talking quarterbacks only in this situation?
I think it does to the, go ahead, Nathan.
I was just going to say that I think that this is a weird scenario where I think the older guy actually has the better long-term value. With Aaron Rodgers, he's a guy who's going to be out until week 16, 17. He's going to miss pretty much the rest of the year. So in terms of a short-term perspective, you actually want an older guy here. And in Superflex, I've talked about, how much the value of a young quarterback can be. But in a sense, Aaron Rodgers still has more years in a window than most young quarterbacks. So I think that Rodgers, you can expect him to have 6 to 7, maybe 8 more years of, legitimate, high-end QB1 production after this year. So, I mean, obviously there's some risk involved with, coaching and things like that. But I think that if we're talking about long term, I definitely prefer Rodgers. I think the only real argument for taking Watson in this deal is if you're desperate for quarterback, and if you have like a, you know, faith in Watson being a top 5 to 7 years.
Yeah, because I mean, if you're buying him for later this year, and I'm still not. I'm higher on Watson than I was last week, but I'm still probably the lowest of him on of like Dynasty Twitter. I'm way low on Watson. But to me, I mean, you're also, if you do a deal like this, you're assuming that Watson turns out to stay amazing for the rest of his rookie season. And like, I don't know, like, and granted, this is probably a bad example, but to give you the same idea of like, there is regression in rookies as the NFL figures them out. Wentz last year, for example, started off really hot and kind of faded to mediocrity during the middle of the season. So granted, he bounced back this year, but I think there is something to be said about that there could be some regression from him coming as the NFL teams really start to game plan for him.
Yeah, I think with Watson, you know, there's some good things that are propping him up. Obviously, that TD rate just isn't sustainable. I mean, having all those touchdowns, but he's the only quarterback who's on pace for 500 rushing yards or more. You know, he's got a shot to surpass 4,000 yards. He'd be only the fourth rookie quarterback to ever do that. So there are things he's doing well. The problem is that he's not super accurate. I mean, Rodgers is about 10 percentage points higher in terms of accuracy, whether he's, you know, in a clean pocket or under pressure, whatever it is, and he just takes a long time to release. And I just worry he's going to start taking those big hits, especially with Seattle coming up after the bye week. He's got Jacksonville again, and he's going to play him going forward twice every year, and that defense doesn't look like it's going to get any worse. So, yeah, I'm a little worried about him with certain pieces, but I think it's fair to say that he's definitely at least in that top 6 to 8 QB conversation.
I think that that's fair, but we're talking about Rodgers, who is in the QB1 conversation, which is, I mean, I guess I could listen to Watson or Luck is probably a better discussion point at this point, because Luck hasn't really proven it in any significant sample size. So, I mean, I don't know. It just seems like everybody overreacts with an injury, and everybody overreacts to production that's weak winning production, which is what Watson is giving you right now. You know, it's something that I'm not going to overreact to. And this deals very easily Rodgers for me. Like, I would need a first probably on the other side to even consider it.
Interesting to bring up the production point with Watson, because it's one of those things this past offseason that people were asking, okay, why is Dak Prescott behind both Mariota and James Winston, yet he outscored both of them when talking about rookie season production? So I think that Watson has been put in a favorable position with a good defense and some solid wide receivers. And so, I mean, that makes the argument for him in his future and his current. But I just don't see him quite living up to the Rodgers expectations now. I think that the more interesting conversation will maybe be Jameis Winston, especially now that he's hurt, or maybe even bringing Dak Prescott into the conversation now that he's not going to rely solely on
Dak
right now.
Let's not go crazy here. Let's not bring Dak into this. I could understand Winston. I could understand.
Oh, so Aaron Rodgers is okay, but not Dak, Dan?
He's hurt. You're missing a half a season of production. I mean, that's an important factor in this.
All right, well, let's move on and kind of pivot here. We'll talk Rodgers was, I think, the only really big injury that happened this week. Let's talk directly for Rodgers' value, which we kind of hit on. So maybe let's not go over the top here. But for Rodgers, is there – I mean, I guess what are we doing? I mean, I heard I think Dan allude to 6 more years of production from Rodgers. And I guess that's really the question is this injury going to be like he's got another 2 years and you just lost a fifth of the rest of his career with this injury?
No, I don't think it's significant. It's I mean, he's the GOAT. He really is. And this is either a short term fix to move up somewhere else and just move on from quarterback, or, you know, his value doesn't take a hit in the long scheme of things. It's, I mean, you're still getting the quarterback one when he's back. It's just this 7-week period, it sounds like, otherwise the rest of the season potentially. So you're really looking at him for 2018 and beyond, and he's still the quarterback one.
Well, let me ask you this question, because it sounds like you'd be interested in buying Rodgers if a contender had him, for example, which is highly possible. Is, we talked about it last week where the time, or 2 weeks ago, with the time to buy on I can't remember
Cam Newton.
Cam Newton, the time to buy. Sorry, I appreciate you jumping that one there. But I guess the question comes down to when will be the time to buy Rodgers? Because usually I always say 2 to 3 weeks after the injury when people get super low on him tends to be the bottoming out time.
I think when we get the actual timeline of him, and you guys might have something different, but I think once the actual timeline for when his return is,
well, I mean, that, it should be the fantasy season for sure, right?
No, I'm saying once we figure out what his timeline is, because right now it's still up in the air, looking for second opinions and whatnot. I think once we figure out that he is going to be done for the season, I think that will be the time to buy.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think just knowing the end date's going to definitely help. I think the only other thing is if, you know, Hundley starts going crazy, but even then I can't imagine there's any reason that people are going to pivot much off of Rodgers in that situation. The one thing I'll add, though, is in regards to kind of what's his window like in the future, the one thing that worries me is he's had a lot of sacks and a lot of hits the last couple of years, and that offensive line is pretty terrible. So the one thing that worries me is, does he start dealing with kind of nagging injuries because the Packers just don't seem very content on fixing that offensive line that's been a problem for easily the last 3 years?
I mean, yeah, the nightmare scenario is that and the Packers won't do this. They won't roll him out too soon, but it's like the Tony Romo scenario with this exact same injury where he re-injures it and suddenly it ends up being a real nagging problem for him.
Yeah, and I honestly don't know what the answer is, right? I don't know what they're going to do, but they seem pretty happy to keep spending early picks on wide receivers and then just completely neglect the offensive line. And to me, I worry a little bit, you know, even though he's had great seasons, I'm not taking that away from him at all, but I just worry that durability-wise, I think it could catch up to him, and that six-year window is more like a 3 or 4 year window if they don't fix a few things on that team.
And he's certainly not playing for money. He's got every endorsement on the planet. He's the new Peyton Manning. So, okay, one other piece of news that, well, I feel like we put that poll out last week and Diggs ended up getting injured, and our entire point about, you know, like about like OBJ being the production or Diggs being the production now was kind of moot. So I guess, did we curse Deshaun Watson for this upcoming week, I guess, is the big question here.
Yeah, the Diggs thing was definitely our fault. I think we have to take blame for that.
Yeah. Sorry, Stefan. Okay, but seriously, is there any, I guess, how are we approaching this Diggs thing? I mean, it doesn't seem to be that serious. So is anybody worried or selling low or trying to get out from under him at this point?
No, no way. Just a groin. He'll be back.
And Teddy Bridgewater's going to be back. So yes. Obviously things are going well.
Yeah, I loved all those checkdowns. I can't wait.
Hey, you watch it. Two gloves is coming, baby.
All right. Nathan, you have anything to throw in on Diggs, or you're following the crowd there?
Follow the crowd.
Okay. All right. Well, and then the last piece of real injury / out news is the Zeke suspension went through, and he was it's their bye week now, but he is going to be suspended for 6 games starting week 7 here. What are we doing here? We kind of knew this was a possibility, and I think naive owners might have forgotten about it. Are we shocked? Are we changing any valuation on him? What's our reaction to it?
Go ahead, Nathan. Sorry. You haven't talked for a while.
I'm not changing any personal valuation on Ezekiel, because kind of I always assumed it was coming. More so, I assumed it was coming in 2018. So, I mean, there's a number of ways to look at it. Obviously, if you're a win now, you would prefer to happen later on. But if you're a rebuilder, I know of a league that, it was a big blockbuster trade to acquire Elliott, and the guy was acquiring with the hopes of getting him in 2018. So if you're a rebuilder who is acquiring Elliott, it's good that he's suspended now, and then you can have him for week 1 of 2018. So, I mean, there's a number of different ways to look at it with the Elliott thing, but I think that he eventually was going to get suspended. So, I mean, why not just now? And so I think that in terms of his dynasty value, I don't think really affects anything. I think if anything, it creates a buying window. If, let's say, you like Ezekiel Elliott more than you do Kareem Hunt or Leonard Fournette, maybe someone who is desperate for points now might give you Zeke for a Kareem or a Fournette.
You want? I think the more common trade for Zeke was buying him on a win now situation. And I think if you did that, you kind of sunk your opportunities there. I know I sold him to a win now team in a best ball league that we were in like last week. Cha-ching.
I had conversations about moving him, the few shares that I have. I never really got that close to an agreement, but I think if there was one that I would legitimately consider right now in any circumstance would be Le'Veon Bell. And I know we're kind of just moving one set of issues for another.
Yes.
But I mean, the amount of volume he's been having, and I know all of the craziness that's going on in Pittsburgh, you know, Ben's, oh, I just, maybe I'm should retire or.
Oh, he was being sarcastic.
Probably.
The people are making such a fuss out of that comment. Like, he was being so sarcastic when he said it.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. But then you have like Antonio Brown saying, hey, I'm not getting enough love. And then Le'Veon's like, well, I need the ball too. So, and now Martavis wants out. So we kind of
wait.
In Pittsburgh.
I missed this. Antonio wants more. Doesn't he get like 16 targets a game?
It was like 2 weeks ago, and then he got like 18 targets or something crazy.
Yeah, no, he was complaining. I mean, not to get all political here, he was complaining about the whole taking a knee thing that happened a couple weeks ago. That was what happened with Antonio.
No, he was looking. He was honestly said he wanted more. He wanted more targets. That was one of his little mini blurbs.
But that was the report, though, that his sideline blow up was because of that.
Oh, okay. I'm kneeing for targets. All right, let's jump forward to something. Unless George, you have a Zeke take?
No, not really. I'm just doing the new kids on the block motto of hanging tough.
Well, actually, I do have a Zeke as far as value goes. I do think that you should, if somebody is sad on Zeke or down on Zeke or willing to move him cheap, I'm more than happy going and buying him. I don't view I view his ignorant behavior in many situations, or at least what he's accused of as being really stupid, and the things he's gotten away with as being really stupid. But I don't know that I necessarily see it as the same systemic problem as the marijuana use of like a Josh Gordon, for example, or a Le'Veon Bell in this case. I think that the NFL is at least more lenient, whether right or wrong, on these type of issues, the domestic violence, the moronic off-field stuff that isn't drug related. They tend to be a little bit more relaxed. So that's something that I would say that Zeke's a buy now. I don't worry about this being a repeat situation of him being repeatedly suspended.
Did you just tiptoe the chalk line about the domestic abuse versus weed?
Well, I tiptoed. I did not tiptoe around it, but I talked about the fact that the NFL views those two things for whatever reason, and I'm not saying that I agree with it in any way, shape, or form as far as which one's worse. But the NFL has clearly deemed that drug use is worse than domestic violence through their actions.
No, I agree. I was just trying to walk you to the water and see if you'd drink.
I'm drinking. What's up? What's up, political Twitter? How's it going? All right, well, that's enough of getting political. Let's move on to more happenings. So the Saints trade off Adrian Peterson, and Adrian Peterson goes off. Red Zone Channel kept coming back to him over and over again, showing him like high-stepping over people. And then at the same time, Mark Ingram is going off. Basically, like they're having like a touchdown off that if you played both of them in your DFS lineups, you made a lot of money yesterday.
I did.
Yeah. So I guess tell me what's our take on Ingram, Kamara in the Saints backfield, and then also what's the take on Adrian Peterson?
Yeah, I mean, I can start. You know, with the Saints backfield, I mean, Kamara to me is the most interesting of the two. I mean, as much as Ingram had a good day yesterday, I mean, he's still not really breaking tackles. I mean, Kamara has more broken tackles on runs than Mark Ingram does, and.
You mean Golden Sloth, Mark Ingram?
And he has a third of the runs. So it's like, you know, Kamara's basically, you know, hitting at a normal rate, but Mark Ingram's just, you know, has to really rely on the offensive line to get his yardage, which I don't know if that's the best, you know, way to work. And I thought the most interesting thing is they're actually kind of split 50-50 on routes run so far. So, I mean, both guys are getting deployed in the pass game, but it's pretty clear that Kamara's the more explosive guy, and it's pretty clear that Peyton has not been the biggest Ingram fan in the past, so I just don't see a reason to leverage yourself into that situation when Kamara looks like he's going to get the touches at least between the 20s.
Let me ask you the question, George, as far as since this is a dynasty valuation show, since you're saying that you're a self-proclaimed hater of Ingram. Did you just not let it go after 3 years of him being really bad and you couldn't buy in? But okay. So I guess value wise, where are you at on Kamara? What would you buy him for? And Ingram, what would you sell him for?
I mean, I think Kamara's worth easily a late 2018 first. I mean, I would give that up pretty quick. I mean, I know that everyone's still excited about the 18 class. I just don't think it's really there. Yeah. I'd rather
have
Kamara in that situation. As far as what I'd sell Ingram for, I mean, he still has value as far as if you're a contending team. So, I mean, if you're contending and you don't necessarily have the depth at the position, I can see why you keep him. But, I mean, I'd be willing to give him up probably for even a random 18 second.
Wow. Okay, a second would be way too light. Kamara, I think, for a first is very interesting. I guess, Dan, are you on board with those valuations?
I think I was, and might have been George and I that were kind of rowing that boat for...
Oh, you were colluding.
no collusion. Kamara was a guy that I was really high on coming out. Loved him pre-combine, loved him through the combine, in the drafts, every which way. Loved that he went to the Saints. And I think both of these guys, at least for the near future, are going to produce very well together. That often, I mean, we see stat after stat after stat on Twitter about, you know, the Sean Payton / Drew Brees Saints and their running backs. And they've always had like two guys in the RB2 or better range, which is insane to me. But it happens pretty much every single year. And I think these guys are going to continue that trend. I agree that Kamara is definitely the one to own here. I would be more than happy to give up like a mid 18 first or later for Alvin there. And Ingram, I'd still probably be in that late first, early second range. That might be kind of light, especially considering the week he just had. But like you said, Peyton's got a history of, you know, he makes one mistake, whether it's a missed block or dropping a ball, and it's game over for him.
Well, I mean, I feel like he got a preview of what Ingram isn't, is what Peyton got when Adrian Peterson's like stalking him around the sideline. He's like, you know what? Actually, that last girlfriend wasn't so bad. This one's really crazy.
that's so spot on.
Okay. All right. Let's pivot this to Adrian Peterson. Adrian Peterson blows up. Nathan, what I mean, if you're a contender, are you really buying into Adrian Peterson taking you to the promised land here?
Yeah, this is a tough one with Adrian Peterson, because I think that it's just found gold if you are a guy who owns Peterson right now. Like, okay, you had him, you maybe bought him for cheap this offseason, but I don't think that there's really a buying opportunity here, because he's probably still not good. It's probably just the Buccaneers defense is that bad. For me, if I have him on my team, I'm just going to ride him through, maybe start him a couple weeks. If I don't have him, I'm not looking to go out and acquire him, because he had just easily play against whoever the Cardinals play next week and just not do anything. So, I mean, I think that there's a wide range of outcomes for what Peterson does, but most of those outcomes end up being him not being very good. So definitely not buying. I'm not buying Peterson right now, but I don't think his – and you talked about this with the injuries. I think this also happens with late resurgences in careers. I don't think that Dynasty Twitter and Fantasy Twitter in general has bought quite into Peterson being back yet. So I think that if he's going to be back, I think that as far as a Dynasty value, I think that maybe wait a couple weeks, and if he has a couple more 20-point games, then you can maybe sell him for like – I mean, this might sound crazy, but like – you know, Peterson in a third for a late first, that might be a deal you can make in a couple weeks.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, DeMarco Murray last year, if he produces this type of last year DeMarco Murray production a couple weeks in a row, that'll be the valuation. Because that's like your first equals a title. Yeah, I mean, this is something that I think just on name recognition alone, I'd advise the listeners to go shop Adrian Peterson if you've got him. If you were able to get a second for Adrian Peterson, you should just run. Just take it and run right now. But the name recognition alone in the big week.
Really, though? Hold on, Eric.
Go ahead.
I think that if you get a second from a competing team that could look 20 to 24 range, you're not going to just ride it out, wait a couple weeks, maybe wait for that to rise. You're just going to snap accept that?
I think I'm taking a second because I guess here's why I'm taking the second is because I don't believe this is the real deal. That I think that this was just one game and he was fired up and hyped and whatever narrative you want to create, but I really don't believe he's got it left. So for me, yeah, if I can get a second for Adrian Peterson, let's back up and say, what could you have gotten for Adrian Peterson 2 weeks ago?
Roster spot.
It's nothing, but
yeah, I mean, I guess I'm good. I'm good taking the safe out, and if he rises to a first, then that's fine, but he could just as easily tweak his ankle and be worth literally nothing.
Right, but if you sell him right now for a late second, you're losing the opportunity for a first.
No, that's what I'm saying, is I'm willing to accept the loss in that opportunity. Because I think the larger range of outcome is that he never hits that first range valuation.
I would agree with that.
No way he gets to a first. But Eric, let me try to walk you through how this might actually this AP might be a thing for this back half of the season. So he's absolutely dust. But if you look at their schedule, they have very, very potentially positive game scripts coming up. The next, what, four or five games aside from Seattle they're playing horrible run defenses. So if they get ahead in those games like they did in this one, obviously Tampa Bay is a whole different animal because that defense is...
How did that happen, by the way? 31-0 before I even looked up.
Couple of quick touchdowns and it was shame, game man. Over. It was all AP. He played like 80% of the snaps or something. So that's something that legitimately could happen. This now brings something that the offense didn't have for the first 5 weeks of the season. They now have a running game because before that it was Andre Ellington catching 10 passes and no running game to be seen. So now you have a legitimate threat legitimate quotes.
Air quotes, legitimate, yes.
That you now have to account for. So they, you know, if they throw early or run early, whatever it happens to be, there's going to be lanes available because they have to protect the pass and they have to protect the run. So you're going to be able to, the Cardinals are going to be able to do kind of what they want to do on offense. And if their defense holds, they're going to be ahead in games and the game script's going to be in his favor for those games against those bad defenses. It's just going to be the way it is because now that they have that running game, that offense is way different and it's explosive, aside from them being all old and washed.
Okay. I mean, I certainly see what you're saying, but I am more than happy. I'm still not convinced. I'm more than happy to take a second from somebody.
Yeah, there's no way he's getting to a first. I don't think I can make that clear enough. But
I mean, and Nathan makes a good point, too, that if I'm trading him to a contender, then I'm giving him a piece to make this second he's giving me a late second.
You can make that second way worse really quickly by giving up AP now.
I also don't believe that to be true. I believe that he will not do that to my second. He would never do that. He would never whip my second.
I think your best move might be to move AP for maybe a rookie that you believed in or somebody that's kind of on the up and coming, but isn't quite scoring the points yet.
Marlon Mack.
Or it's like throwing in an extra pick with AP to maybe a contender that has, let's say, Juju Smith-Schuster. You might be able to throw in a mid pick with AP to a contender and get Juju back because it looks like he might be the wide receiver two in Pittsburgh here. Sure, he probably already is now that Martavis isn't doing anything and wants out. So a move like that, I think, is more in the cards rather than just a one-for-one type deal.
What a twist for Juju, by the way, that he was both Sammy Coates and Martavis Bryant's replacement. That's a shocking turn of events.
No, crazy. It's not, because I've been saying it on this podcast for the last 6 months. So.
Yeah, we gotta let Nathan kind of have that one, I think. And I was very wrong. I don't know why. I never really liked him. And then now that I see him in the NFL, he's like the type of player that I love in the NFL, is like big slot types that can play outside but really live inside. Okay, and speaking of adding draft-type things into trades to make trades happen, we can talk about just actual drafts and maybe the draft app. Again, this is another week where we get to talk about my favorite app. It is the app to have on your phone. If you love fantasy football, if you love daily, this is the place to be. They've got games starting like every minute. It's crazy. Once one fills up, you can hop right back into the next one. We even have our own promo code in order to get you... You get a free entry into a game. So if you go in, TradeCast, type it in, throw some money in there, you're good to go, man. We're rolling in that draft, though. I had a nice week this week. They have these really cool, they're called like Dream Team games. And instead of having like a portion of money, you get to pay whatever, like the classic DFS. You just get to pick 4, 5, 6 guys, whatever the game ends up being. And if you can make the best calls of the week, it's like the easiest cash ever.
Yeah, and for those that don't know what Draft is or haven't listened or heard any of their ads, it's a cool new format of daily fantasy where you actually do a snake draft for a team that you keep for a week, and then that team will fill in. So it's a super cool format that's out there. It's super unique and super interesting, and it really is a lot more fun than the salary cap format that you'll see elsewhere. So make sure you go check it out. RV Radio is the code to.
I get the wrong promo. It's not TradeCast. Don't put in TradeCast and draft. It's RV Radio.
All right, now the moment we've been waiting for. This is the Dynasty Courtroom.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth! You're out of order! The whole trial is out of order!
Now entering the courtroom, the Honorable George Kritikos.
Hear ye, hear ye. Now in the courtroom, I have Eric Bertzloff defending one Demaryius Thomas, a 2018 first and a 2018 second, and Mr. Dan, who is going to be defending Mr. Amari Cooper, Aaron Jones, and a 2018 third. I shall let Dan commence.
Thank you, Judge. Much appreciated. I'm going to try to keep this one as simple and straightforward as possible. You've got the best piece in the entire deal here. This one shouldn't be difficult. Amari Cooper, two straight 1,000-yard seasons to start his career. No one really gets to do those types of things. We all loved him coming into the NFL. We still all love him. Yes, he struggled this year a little bit. He even said that he wasn't really all that focused at the time. He'll get it back. Everyone goes through slumps. Plus, we have Aaron Jones, who might take some work from Ty Montgomery. Maybe he's just kind of a long play, plus a 2018 third. There's been a lot of good players coming out that seem to be landing in the third and only gain value. So I think this, you really can't look past the top value here and just take Amari and run.
Did you just take shots at your own running back on your side of the deal? That's man, I thought you would play up that Aaron Jones. You surprised me, Dan, and this is
Jamal
gonna be
Williams.
It's going to be really fun eviscerating you.
Let's have order in this court, sir.
Yeah, now, he brought up. Oh, yeah.
Eric, please go ahead.
Okay, let me do this. And he just brought up Jamal Williams. Sorry, I'm very flustered. That name just brings back memories for me. All right, Demaryius Thomas is not dead yet, has had 5,000-yard seasons, and is played through an injury yesterday and still looked beastly, looked great. One of the more underrated assets in all of Dynasty. And in a 2018 first, another nice piece, in 2018 second. So breaking down the trade, Amari Cooper could potentially be worth what Demaryius is at the end of the season if he keeps floundering. Now, granted, I know he's everybody's darling, sweet child. Ryan McDowell's probably cursing at his radio right now somewhere. But that's in the realm of possibilities. So for me, I'm good having a first Demaryius with Cooper. I think that's even. And then a second over Aaron Jones, I'm fine with it. So I think my side of the deal just slightly edges out this or evens it.
My ruling is that Mr. Eric would have to pay additional restitution in this case, so I award it to Mr. Dan.
Thank you,
I agree.
Thank
I didn't fight it very well. Damn it, Dan.
And now entering the courtroom, the Honorable Judge Nathan Powell.
Hello. Hello, everybody. Glad to have you all in my courtroom today. You know, this is a very complicated case involving one Odell Beckham Jr. He is what was once considered the top dynasty asset, represented by Eric Bertzloff. And then we got a package of explosive young players represented by George Kritikos. Devontae Parker, Martavis Bryant, Christian McCaffrey, and Chris Hogan. I'm gonna allow George the floor to defend his bevy of assets.
Thank you, Judge Nathan. I'll start by saying that anytime I can have a big package, I prefer that. So that's very exciting.
Mother of God. You're in the courtroom, sir.
We start with Devontae Parker, a man who has had three healthy games and what has been the wide receiver 11 during that time and has had at least eight targets in each of those games. So he's been a very valuable asset when healthy, and I believe that he will continue to be healthy despite a few dings here and there. The next asset in Christian McCaffrey, we have a guy on pace for 99 receptions on the year, which would be three off of Forte's record of 102. And he's had at least four catches in every single game. And he's averaging over 12 touches per game. So we have a guy there who could finish inside the top 15 for running backs in PPR leagues as a rookie. Add in Chris Hogan, a guy who's playing 93% of the team snaps and is fourth in routes run and actually has more routes and more snaps than his teammate Brandon Cooks. and you have a startable receiver there as well. And then add in Martavis Bryant, a player who is struggling, but is a guy in the past who's shown a lot of success. And perhaps if he moves to the right team, that he will continue that success. So overall, I think you have four very playable, very startable assets, and potentially guys who will exceed the sum of what my my defending counsel is going to present.
Okay. All right. But for real, you did just list off your guys as playable. That you're like the dude trying to describe the blind date to his buddy. You're like, yeah, I don't know. She's nice. She's nice. That's nice. OBJ is going to be a top five asset. And we're talking about getting what, four dimes for a dollar here. I don't even think this is close. Hogan's not a long-term sexy asset. Christian McCaffrey is. Martavis Bryant seems to be hell-bent on spearing his own career, and Devonta Parker hasn't happened yet. So I just had a bubble there. I will take OBJ, hands down, no question, crushing it, OBJ.
Now, folks, I appreciate both defenses on both sides here, but I will have to admit, this is one of those trades that I think I'd have a hard time sending either side, because I think that there are a number of ways for each side to lose the trade. I do like the facts that George has presented about Christian McCaffrey, about how high of an upside he has if he gets the running game going. But I will resort to the fact that Odell Beckham is one of the best wide receivers we've ever seen. He's young, and he will be back next year. So in by a nose, I will give the favor to Eric and Odell Beckham Jr.
I mean, this was easy. My defendant is so amazing. It wasn't even close.
Now entering the courtroom, the honorable, the beautiful Judge Eric Bertzloff.
Well, I really appreciate that smother in there, Smithers. That's very nice. I think we'll see you in my chambers afterwards. All right. Well, on that note, let's get down to business. And I'm not talking about you, Smithers. You'll see me in the chambers. Let's introduce our two counsels. I've got Dan here. He's going to be representing his client, Travis Kelce. And then we've got Nathan on the other end. He's going to be representing his clients, Kyle Rudolph, and the 2018 first. Which one of you gentlemen wants to go first? Because I'll let either of you.
Go ahead, Nathan.
All right, here we go. This is the nice trade cast, and on the nice trade cast, especially in the courtroom, we have talked about how tight ends can be frustrating to own, how they are definitely one of the most overvalued assets in trade negotiations. So I think that when we talk about Kyle Rudolph versus Travis Kelce, yes, I'd rather have Travis Kelce in my lineup each week. But is it that much of a difference between Kyle Rudolph and Travis Kelce? Maybe not. I think that Travis Kelce is a guy you can rely on for 12 to 14 points most weeks. But I think you can rely on Kyle Rudolph for 6 to 10 points each week. So I think that 18 versus is bigger than that gap in points. So I have enough faith in Rudolph where he's not going to cost me a championship by starting him over Kelce. And I'll take that 18 first, which obviously when we look at Twitter trades, we're not really sure where that's going to end up. But if that first is anywhere in the top eight, I think this is an easy win for the Rudolph side.
Yeah, you make a pretty good argument. The problem is, Travis Kelce's involved, and this guy's good. He's borderline the tight end one. We still love Gronk, but he's kind of dead half the time. So Travis Kelce doesn't have much to deal with in KC. Alex Smith is on a resurgence. They have a running game to set him up down the field. Tyreek Hill's been struggling. It's the Travis Kelce show. He was a little bit dinged up, had that concussion, but he came back and put on a little bit of an outing. Wasn't great. No, I'm not gonna ignore that. His last week was kind of not very good, to be honest. But he does have one thing that Kyle Rudolph does not have, and that's the ability to run. Kyle Rudolph is a bona fide dad runner. He's the only person aside from Jason Witten that catches a ball, gets hit, and tips over. Travis Kelce could take the ball to the house kind of like any time. He's explosive. He's a big body receiver. He's basically a receiver that just happens to play tight end. I don't think you need much more than this. You got to go with the high-end asset here.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say enough nice things about watching the two of you just duke it out right there. It's really nice. And I think both of you made some really nice points, so kudos to you, Daniel, Nathan. So it's pretty good. pretty good. I'm having a tough time deciding who to side with, but I think I'm going to go with the Nathan side. I think a Rudolph in a first is probably just eking it out over Kelsey. And I think if we did this trade in the off season, that it would be the first in Rudolph by a country mile. So even in season, this still seems like the first is more valuable. So I will side with that side of the deal.
Blasphemy.
But you did great, Dan. You did great.
Thank you. I know you like it.
Let's wrap up with our guest thoughts on that deal.
Yeah, I was torn on that one too. That's a real tough one. I think I'd lean kind of what Eric was saying, Rudolph in the first, just ekes it out for me. I'm just not a big, I don't think that tight end's that hard to really fill that spot. And I'd rather have the first round pick to, potentially get another pretty good asset. So, or trade for another asset.
Yeah, I agree. Cause I made the decision. You're a very smart man, George, very smart man.
I'm always by your side, buddy.
Yeah. Take it easy. We'll see you in the chambers. All right. But, but for real, when you're not in the chambers, you're on Twitter at RotoHack. And you write for profootballfocus.com, right?
That's right. And I actually have an article coming out tomorrow about Deshaun Watson. So this is all very timely, and I'll have to make some last minute edits because, you guys are so smart and I want to add all your great points in.
Let's check in on that poll, Eric. We haven't checked in on the poll since the beginning.
Oh, that's a good point. We don't want to let him compliment us. I was gonna take it and run. But all right, checking in on our poll. Twitter is not as silly as we were hoping they might be, but it's still kind of silly. 28% Deshaun Watson, 72% Aaron Rodgers is the way this trade has wrapped after 257 votes. So it's kind of what you'd expect. Like I said, I think in 2 weeks we redid this poll. I think it's going to be closer to 50-50 if Watson keeps it up.
Yeah, well, that's. I was honestly thinking the Twitter crazies might be out tonight, and they might make a run at giving Watson this, but they got it right. I mean, it's probably a 75-25 type deal, but that 25% might be you. You might have to go make that trade. Who knows?
All right, and I alluded to it earlier. Thanks so much for coming on the show, George. It's always awesome to have you on. You are a second time guest, so we look forward to having you on a third time. And make sure you go check him out on Twitter at RotoHack and look for his work, Pro Fantasy, Pro Football Focus, Pro Football. That's the worst. I'm like, PFF is what I want to say. For Nathan, Dan, and myself, reminding you to rate and review this podcast. 5 stars. 5 stars. We will catch up with you guys next week.